Hello and welcome to another episode of Digital Economy 101 podcast. I'm your host, Dino Oreschki, and our guest today is Richard Loftus, experienced creative marketeer, communications and branding specialist with decades of theaters and performance promotion expertise. Let us dive deep in the theater's digital renaissance. Hi, Richard, and welcome to the show.
Hi, what a lovely introduction. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. So, which major shifts are we currently seeing and witnessing in the theater industry as a result of the digital technologies?
Yeah, what a great start. I mean, digital technology in theater is something that's been around for quite some time on the stage. But I think one of the fascinating things that we are starting to see is that integration of digital technology through marketing output. So when I first started my career in theatre marketing, which was at a regional theatre just outside London in the UK, one of my first jobs there was to create a Facebook page for the theatre. Now, we're talking, you know, over a decade ago now. However, what's fascinating is that having set up that Facebook account for that theatre, we now, across the industry, are using Facebook for advertising, for communicating with audiences, and during the pandemic, was also using Facebook for live streaming and to continue to engage audiences when our venues were closed. So during the coronavirus pandemic, I was director of sales and marketing for Symphony Hall and Town Hall, which are two concert halls in Birmingham in the UK. And their Symphony Hall particularly is a world-renowned concert hall. And across the two venues, we would normally see 500,000 people visit those venues over a year with over 800 performances and events.
Oh, wow. Are those unique visitors?
Correct, yeah. And what's fascinating is that when our doors closed, we were able to still engage that level of people by live streaming and live broadcasting on our social channels. And we were able to retain our audiences. So something that started as a page that I was setting up for one venue at the beginning of my career became the primary way that we were able to engage people through art, through music, and through theatre when our venues closed down during the pandemic. So I think that's a really good, simple way of demonstrating the huge shift that's occurred in the theatre and live music industry through digital technology.
So the COVID is now behind us, fortunately. So we are experiencing a lot of changes that are happening, particularly with virtual and augmented reality technologies in theaters. So can you provide a few examples of those successful implementations?
Well, I mean, less theatre with the AR side of things, but certainly with live music, I think ABBA Voyage is a fantastic example of how AR is now being used in the live event setting. They have ABBA have built their own venue, which is in London, and have recorded an entire show where you have four avatars which perform the entire concert. But what's interesting about it is I think most people would understand that to be an AR experience whereby you've got ABBA when they're younger performing. They're not really there. But the way that they make that show a live experience is by integrating that recorded digital aspect of the performance with a live band and live backing singers. So you have still got that depth to the music, to that live experience coming from within the auditorium, paired with then the avatars which are performing. But then on the stage as well, you still have digital technology being integrated in stage performances as well. You know,
the buzzword for it is stagecraft.
Yes. So you know, Sunset Boulevard with Nicole Scherzinger, which was just on the West End, for example, was integrating live performance with digital technology, whereby you had videographers and live broadcast going on at the same time. In fact, one of the songs, the lead actor in the show had an earpiece in and walked out on the streets of London, followed by a camera which was broadcasting the scenes directly into the theatre, continued to sing to the live band that were in the auditorium where the audience were watching, whilst he walked along the streets of London and then came back into the theatre through the audience. Incredible.
Oh, wow. So you have mentioned a few times the streaming services. Now, that requires a huge amount of megabytes and very, very heavy internet connection and speed. Tell me about the audience. How does the audience then react in such... How does the audience engage with such new technologies and connection between the digital and the live performance?
Yeah, I think when it's done well, it amplifies the experience. Sunset Boulevard is a great example of that from a live perspective, but also if you're watching at home, for example, I think when it's what broadcast, for example, is able to do is get people really close to a performance in a really intimate way, where if you were in the theatre, you wouldn't be able to be as close and see the expression on somebody's face. So I think it allows the audience to engage in a more, to connect to it even more in some instances when it's done well. There are, of course, other examples where it's not done quite so well, which of course I wouldn't dream of referencing, where it can feel disconnected.
And you being and also having a background in sales department as well, how are all of those new technologies and audience engagements, particularly through social media, affecting the sales?
Yeah, I think it can really enhance it, actually, because one of the things that is spoken a lot about in the theatre industry and live music, particularly live music organisations that are run by charities, is about reaching new audiences. As you know, it's always about finding new audiences as well as retaining others. And, you know, there are numerous barriers to attendance for theatre across many different levels. For some people, it's not their learned experience. They might not have been as a child, for example, to the theatre and therefore don't feel connected to attend it as an adult. For some people, some of these venues can be quite ominous. They can be quite domineering places. If you've not entered one before, it can feel quite intimidating. There are, you know, numerous barriers to attendance about what do I wear to the theatre, how much a ticket is to something that I may not know if I'm going to enjoy. So many different barriers to attendance. So I think with regards to broadcast, for example, and using that as a marketing tool, I think it can be a great way for somebody to experience maybe at a lower cost or in some instances, no cost at all, to test whether they're going to like something, to test whether they're going to like the music, to test whether they're going to like the performance, test whether they're going to like the atmosphere or the venue. So it can give people a way to engage with it and become an audience member in person in the future in a way that they might not have been able to before. I think that's where it can be super beneficial for marketing teams. And also content, as you know, I'm sure you've had other people say, content is king, content is queen. Having rich content that you're able to utilize post-performance from live broadcasts or from any of these digital outputs, again, is incredible to be able to really enhance and elevate your adverts. So using that in advertising for performances and events, brilliant to be able to have access to really, really engaging, fantastic, high quality footage that you're able to make use of to really showcase to an audience member what that experience might feel like.
And those types of, let's say, performances are now being recorded. They are on, you know, few clicks away from us. Now, what do theaters do, or what theaters should be doing to engage with more diverse audiences and, let's say, to make it more accessible to worldwide audience?
National Theatre, I think, are obviously the beacon of this in the UK. The National Theatre is a static building in London on the South Bank, sat alongside the River Thames. And it is a national theatre. And yet, for decades, the only way for the nation to engage in that theatre is by travelling to London to go along the South Bank, past the River Thames, and to enter that building. Right. So what streaming and live broadcast has been able to do is to make that venue exactly what it says it is, a national theatre. Performances from that venue are broadcast in cinemas, are played back in cinemas. You can even download some of them onto your telly and watch them now at home. You can engage with theatre from your sofa, and it makes what was once billed as a national theatre, but probably not delivering against that as an objective, is now indeed a national theatre, and more so international. And they've been doing that for, I think I looked up earlier, since 2009, they've been doing their national theatre live broadcasts, and it has grown and grown and grown. But you mentioned earlier as well about gigabytes and about high quality. But I think one of the amazing things that has come from technology is you can now do this if you're a small independent by simply using your phone and broadcasting live to Facebook. So, for example, I'm a director for Grosvenor Road Studios, which is a recording studios in Handsworth in Birmingham. And it's got a rich history. It's where the sound effects for Thunderbirds were recorded. It's where many of Birmingham's great artists have recorded some of their music as well. And Grosvenor Road Studios have recently started putting on events for an intimate audience in some of the recording studios themselves. You can go into Studio One and you can experience a live performance. And the capacity in there is maybe around 100 people. However, only a few days ago, just before the Easter weekend, they were able to stream to Facebook one of those live performances and had almost 900 people have now watched that live broadcast.
So it was for free?
It was for free. You could tune in and watch this live broadcast that was happening in the studios for free on Facebook. And we would never have got 900 people sat in that studio because there simply wouldn't have been space.
Right.
So I think what happens over time is obviously it starts off as being a really, it starts off with, you know, organizations like the National Theatre doing these big broadcasts, high budget, multiple cameras. And actually now, with technology as it is, with a couple of cameras and a couple of iPhones, we're able to do that even at a recording studio with community and with local artists putting that out. So it is achievable, even if you don't have big spend.
Right. Let's come back to the ground. Yes, we have had a lot of talks about content and at this show, and also in regards of the ESG and sustainability. So theaters were always, let's say, they always had this niche about environmental impact. Now, combining it with the digital era, how do theaters go on with and in regards of the ESG and all of the sustainability movement?
Yeah, fascinating. I mean, it's a great way to offset, isn't it? You know, where you would have had audiences at times traveling into a venue, you lose that immediate impact on the environment by not having somebody travel in if they're able to watch that at home. So I think that's an immediate offset. From a sustainability perspective. And I think it also makes the production sustainable longer because more people can engage with it. So where your cost may have been limited to the length of a run, you've now got something that can last much longer, and therefore the expenditure on it goes a lot further. So I think there's that kind of longevity to it as well. But there are great organizations that support support venues with being more sustainable. Julie's Bicycle, for example, is one that we have here in the UK, which is a fantastic organization that supports arts venues, particularly with being more sustainable. So I definitely direct people to check them out.
So if you have a theater ticket, you can get a bike for free.
No, goodness me, no, certainly not that. Julie's Bicycle is just the name of the organization. You don't get a free
bike.
You don't get
even a bicycle ride.
But you know, there was a recent tour whereby they had bicycles powering the electricity that was used within the show. So you do, there are products that wasn't by Julie's Bicycle, but is an example of bicycles being used to support the, to use the energy from bicycles in order to power the electricity that's used within the show.
So there's creativity all around here.
There is always a way to innovate. And I think you particularly see that. That's what I love most about theatre and the arts, is that that's where the best innovation happens.
And what, in your opinion, would be the new emerging technology when it comes to theater? What will shape the theater's future, and how should theaters, which is probably more important question, adapt and prepare to those changes?
Wow, that is such a big question, and I don't always think it's predictable. So, for example, there's a director called Katie Mitchell that has been integrating film and sound and recording into theatre for decades. And that is almost becoming the norm and the expectation now. So I think, as we were just saying, I think in terms of how do theatres prepare and what comes next, I think for what's on the stage, it's going to be directors and artists that innovate and find new ways to create, whether it's a bicycle that powers the energy that's used within the show, or whether it's integrating AR and VR into the experience that it feels fully immersive. I think they'll always find ways to innovate and create new things that are unexpected and unimaginable. I think for a marketeer, what that means is how do you promote and how do you present the unimaginable and make it tangible? That's the exciting thing from my side.
And what advice would you give to those marketeers and those theater managers that are in early stages of the digital transformation, that are, let's say, more traditional?
Yeah, I would say get comfortable with discomfort, because you are going to get things wrong, and that's okay.
you will have the go wrong great in any case, so why not just do it?
Exactly.
Cool. And to wrap up, could you share your vision of how the digital economy will continue to influence art and theaters and performance in years to come?
Wow. I mean, arts you've just mentioned there, and I don't feel like I've spoken enough to art specifically, but even if you think of emerging, how technology has informed shifts in art, like NFTs, for example, had a huge spike and then have kind of like dissipated a little bit again. You know, some of those big ticket items are being sold on at half the price that they were originally bought at, for example. I think, as I say, artists are there to create and reflect. And I think we will always see that. And I think digital can only begin to enhance that. Look at, you know, we talk about AI a lot, don't we? And look at the way that AI is able to create art of its own. But I think the interesting thing is then how an artist uses that and creates something again. It's, you know, there's no such thing as new. Everything is a recreation and a new thing, or a new creation of something that was there before, or a new edit of something that was there before. And so I think AI at the moment being the end point, actually, there'll be an artist that comes along and makes it not the end point, but it's used to inform what the end point becomes. That sounds very meta, doesn't it? But I think there'll always be ways to create new and create more new and create something different.
So AI is here to help, in a nutshell.
I think so. I think it will need intervention. And whether that's, you know, whether that's somebody in marketing using AI to draft some copy and then becoming the editor, rather than writing it all themselves from scratch, or whether it's an artist that is using it to create another world and embellish the work that they're already doing, or whether it's somebody that is engaging with it to create something completely brand new that none of us can even begin to think about, I think it can only help.
And on that note, would you conclude that tech people and marketeers are artists? As well, in some form.
Yeah, 100%. I think the notion that they aren't involved in their own kind of artistry is an absolute myth. Yeah, I absolutely believe that my input as a marketeer has its own creativity to it. It's a different kind of creativity, but I think there is a creativity to it. There's writing, there's creative direction, there's photography, there's video editing.
Creation of digital strategies, for example.
Exactly. There are so many ways which are creative from a marketing perspective that, yeah, I completely think that marketing is an art form, for sure.
And when it comes to the people working in theater marketing,
yeah,
you have mentioned go outside, do it, you will fail, come back again, do it right. Do you have any last minute advice for them?
I think that's my best advice, really. Get it wrong. Yeah, get it wrong and you'll get it right. I also just think the things that make my heart sing when it comes to theatre, when it comes to live music, when it comes to art, are really centred around community. And I think placing community at the heart of those things will always be where you'll find the very best outcomes. I think if you're making decisions that are informed by your audiences or the people that you're trying to serve, I think that's where gold is.
Richard, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for listening. Please do click and hit subscribe, because we have a new show coming out soon.